Second, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous show to be sharing with you today. And joining us to talk about that, we have the actresses and co-artistic directors, Jacqueline Bethany and Lynn Gathright. They're here to talk to us about the Fireweeds in association with Future Home Productions' presentation of Outraged Hearts. It's playing June 27th through the 30th at Torn Page, and you can get your tickets and more information either at eventbrite.com or at fireweeds.org. This is a fascinating and wonderful show, and we can't wait to learn more about it and share it with you. And the perfect people to do that are our guests. So let's welcome them on. Jacqueline, Lynn, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that the two of you are here. I appreciate that you reached out to us and you brought us this incredible production you were bringing here to New York. So Jacqueline, why don't we start with you first? Can you tell us a little bit about what Outraged Hearts is about?
Yes, so it's based on, it is two one-acts. One is called The Pretty Trap and the other is Interior Panic, which later became The Glass Menagerie and A Streetcar Named Desire. So these are early drafts of two very iconic American plays. Tennessee workshopped both stories for a couple of years and went through various different drafts and iterations before the plays we know today. And so we're kind of going back in time and looking at his work and these characters before they became the sort of iconic characters we know today. And we've sort of, it's one evening. The first half is The Pretty Trap, which is this sort of iteration of The Glass Menagerie. And then the second half is Interior Panic, which is what became Streetcar. But we do it in a very sort of interesting, immersive way. We're utilizing the whole of Torn Page and their space. And we also originally did the show in New Orleans. We're a New Orleans-based company, so this is our New York debut. We have all the same actors and team that was with us in New Orleans, plus a few additions. And so, yeah, we're just, Lynn and I are very, committed to a new kind of female theater and what that means. And we've really centered these stagings back on the women and the pieces.
I love that. So, Lynn, I would love to know, how did you two come up on this piece?
Well, Jacqueline and I met doing Tennessee Williams production here in New Orleans. That was our first meeting, and we became friends after that. And when she moved to New Orleans, the theater scene in New Orleans has changed a lot. Like, I guess it has in a lot of places, especially after the pandemic. There were a lot of companies that were no longer here. And I've been here for a while, and I've done a lot of theater here. And when Jacqueline moved here, she quickly discovered there was a real lack of something. There wasn't enough theater, and we weren't really finding the kind of things that we wanted to do. So she sort of pushed me into forming a company, which was great. Something I'd been thinking about for years, but didn't want to do all by myself. So Jacqueline makes a wonderful partner for me. And I think we complement each other well with our different strengths and ideas. And so wanted to start out with our first production for our company. We thought, since we both really have a strong interest and love for Tennessee Williams, that it would be a good move to start with this, and that we could also partner with the Tennessee Williams Literary Festival, which happens in New Orleans. It's a really huge festival. And our very first meeting with anyone as a company was with Paul Willis, who's the director of that festival. And he was incredibly excited and enthusiastic about what we're doing. So we figured, well, that went really well after the meeting. And we're like, okay, good, we're on to something here. And he was also very enthusiastic about women like directing and producing and like bringing that energy and that vision to Tennessee Williams, which, I think is sort of new and fresh. And, we wanted to bring these productions to people who may or may not have seen, Streetcar or Glass Menagerie before, but we also wanted to find an audience of people who like maybe even didn't go to the theater before. And so we wanted to present things in a way that would really draw them in and make them excited about theater. I mean, I guess what I'm kind of saying is we're like reaching for like some new younger audiences to introduce them to these old classic pieces. And I think we were really successful in invigorating this these you know works that were written 80 more plus years ago with a new energy that really spoke to an audience in 2024. And I think a lot of that came from really focusing on the female characters in a new way and giving them much more power and agency. And sort of like, even though they were period pieces, we sort of gave them kind of a modern feel because of the power that the women had in those pieces.
Is fantastic. I love, I had no idea about this. So this is incredible. Jacqueline, coming back to you, I mean, at the time of this recording, we are just under 3 weeks away from the show coming here to New York. So I'm really curious to know, what has it been like developing this current iteration of this production?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Lynn and I also have lived in New York for a long period of time. We're obviously both now based in New Orleans, but so we always kind of had like a, you know, a vision that we would bring something to New York, and it's been amazing that this project in particular, but even just from the stuff that I see in New York, I felt we would have a great interest there because theater is so much in the kind of cultural backbone of New York. And I think we're also doing something with this that I don't see a lot done anywhere. So, you know, it's very interesting having done a sort of whole process and a full 2.5 week run in New Orleans and coming back at it now with the same people. And, you know, we figured out what worked and what didn't. And we are gonna, you know, just play more and like have more time to develop it and really be in the room. Because the show is only, both shows are four people. And it's the same actors in both shows. So it's really kind of like a old school theater troupe in rep. And it's both of the shows are very extreme and just in terms of intensity. And one's a, you know, a kind of raucous comedy that we're sort of a little bit like adapting and to be a bit more of a dreamlike memory experience. And then the other one is highly emotional, intense. And so it's really kind of like a workout for both the company and the audience. And I think finding those sort of nuances and relationships and in our staging, I think is something that we're like looking at more moving forward and thinking about like, you know, the trajectory and the through line for both pieces. And because there was just so, I mean, the archive of Williams in particular for both of these pieces is just so rich and vast. And so even just doing it again, I feel like we're really only scratching the surface because he was constantly developing these characters and his work and rewriting and changing. And so I think it's really a gift to be given the opportunity to be able to do this again because many people do a limited run and it's over. And, you know, we're a very small company. So the fact that we are able to bring it to a larger audience and continue to develop, you know, as artists and producers and actors and bring it to the industry in New York and kind of get out what we're trying to say, it feels very special, but also, you know, challenging as well.
That is fabulous. What a great process. Lynn, coming back to you, I'm really curious to know. I mean, I'm sure many audiences like myself were not aware that this is kind of the origin of these great Tennessee Williams classics. So, with your production, is there a message or a thought you hope they take away from your work?
I think really what I feel is probably one of the most important things is to see these works as kind of still accessible, you know, that they're not like ancient pieces that will, you know, or they're not, you know, they don't belong in a museum. They can be real life and relative in this moment. And like the Glass Menagerie, which Pretty Trap is the precursor for, is a very different play. It's very sad. It's a bit of a tragedy. And the Pretty Trap, on the other hand, like Jacqueline said, is this crazy comedy. And It's just such a fun ride, that show. And then to go into this very different space and feeling and experience of interior panic, which is very intense and very emotional. It's just such a fun ride. It's like, you know, like Jacqueline said, it's a fun ride for the actors, but it's a really fun ride for the audience because they get to experience this whole gambit of emotions and just have this really full experience. And it's very like the place where we did it in New Orleans was very small. So like they're basically like inches from the actors
Yeah.
and the sound is built to be very intense. And there's some very intense visuals and like film use and things like that that just really enliven all your senses. So I think that's really the thing. And also just to see these works like in a new fresh light, you know, like someone said who came to see our show, who is playwright and a scholar and a teacher, he said, you know, I think Tennessee would be really happy with the way you did this, you know, because he was always trying to find different ways to do things, always experimenting, always challenging. And I feel like our productions are very much about that, really challenging the audience and really taking risk with some of our interpretations and things. And I'm really looking forward to doing it in New York, just like, you know, to get another shot at it. And also, I don't know if everyone knows about Torn Page, but it was the place where we're performing. It was the brownstone house that belonged to Geraldine Page and Rip Torn when they were married. They met on the set of Sweet Bird of Youth. And so it's lovely to do it in that space with all these relations to Tennessee Williams. And like in our production in New Orleans, we had Laura's glass menagerie in a dollhouse, and we used a dollhouse that my father made for me when I was 6 years old. And so that to me was very special and charming. And we were thinking about shipping it to New York and how are we going to do that? And Tony Torn was like, well, I have my mom's dollhouse. So he sent us a picture of Geraldine Page's dollhouse, which is like the most perfect thing you could imagine. It's period, it's wonderful. And he's like, you could use this. And I don't know, I just love all these serendipitous connections to Tennessee. The place where we're rehearsing in New York is the old Episcopal Seminary where Tennessee lived for the first couple of years when he moved to New York. So I don't know, I just love
Yeah,
all those kind of
it's
connections.
like very strange. I mean, the process has been really interesting because, you know, it's hard to do these plays in any capacity because they are so like well known and these characters, and so it's kind of scary. And I feel like throughout this whole thing, we've sort of had this sort of Tennessee looking over us or something, and it's interesting going back to sort of what the we want the audience to take away. I've been looking at a lot of the really the original reviews from the show when they first opened. So Glass Menagerie opened in on Broadway, I believe in 1946, and then Streetcar in 1948. So at that time, people had never seen theater like this before. The way that he did the Glass Menagerie was originally staged was extremely Brechtian and abstract and sort of magical and real at the same time. And the sort of Streetcar was an extension of that. You know, there was sort of not, it's not how we kind of think of Streetcar. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It changed a lot to the movie, but it was much more sort of poetic and raw. And you were the and dreamlike in the way that the set was, and that the audience was just like totally kind of floored, and some were, you know, confused but and challenged by what they were seeing because it was a new kind of theater. And I think that we are trying to pay an homage to that, and also the abstractness as well, and how different Tennessee's work was from anyone else's. And I think that comes through in our show. And it also, if you look at his later work, he was definitely challenging himself even more. And it was, you know, many of his plays were very avant-garde, and they weren't s commercially successful. But and there are definitely elements of this of that in the theater of the absurd in both of these pieces as well. And I think that that's one reason why he has also stood the test of time, because not only is he, king of being true and real and raw with your emotions, but he also has this like incredible theatricality in his writing.
I love all that. That is brilliant insight. And Jacqueline, I want to ask my final question for this first part to you. And I'd love to know, who do you hope have access to this piece?
So, I mean, for our it's interesting because like we're doing it again. So in New Orleans, we were really, like Lynn said, trying to bring new people to the theater, bring something new to the kind of infrastructure of the city, and kind of make us have a debut and something have something we were very proud of. And we had a lot of Gen Z in particular really respond to the show, which was exciting because I think also like post-COVID, people in general really want an event. They want to be at something where they feel like they're part of something. And so like we kind of scratched the surface with that and are sort of now more leaning into that. And for New York, because we're very new and we haven't produced in New York before, this run in particular is targeted towards industry and theater makers that so we're introducing our company to sort of their community and hoping that we will be able to continue bringing shows to New York or run at another venue that might have interest or bring on more producers in the future to our productions on a larger scale. So that's also the purpose of this run in New York is sort of it's more industry focused because this is, New York is the heartbeat of the American theater.
The second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I would love to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Lynn, can I start first with you on that, please?
Sure. God, so many different things. I don't know. I feel like when this is such a hard question for people to ask me, like, what are your favorite movies? What's your favorite music? Because I feel like such a smorgasbord of things. But, I really enjoy the playwright Tennessee Williams, of course. Edward Albee is another of my favorites. I think also with our company, we're trying to focus on some more female playwrights, looking at producing that kind of stuff. God, it's such a wide variety of things. I mean, I have to say, like, my favorite thing I've watched on television lately has been Baby Reindeer. But yeah, just I don't know. I think it's such a broad spectrum of things. I mean, I come from a theater and dance background, so that always interests me a lot. I love to go to the ballet. I love to see, all kinds of bands from like punk rock to, R&B stuff. I mean, it's such a wide gambit of things that I love, which I think is good. I mean, I never get bored. I'm always interested in seeing something new and different. And Jacqueline has the lovely experience of just coming back from London and seeing a bunch of plays there. And while we're in New York, we're going to see some shows, which I'm very excited about.
I was gonna say, I love
Oh.
the list. That is absolutely wonderful. I can't wait for you to see the great theater that's going on here in New York, which of course your show is bringing. And Jacqueline, I would love to know what or who inspires you. I mean, it sounds exciting. You're fresh off the plane from London. Tell us things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think it's important, sort of like Lynn was saying, I always try to do, because this industry is so messy and hard and intense, I always try to do something like cultural or artistic that doesn't involve me, myself, like working, but trying to either read or go to a museum or watch a movie or something over the course of a day. It doesn't always happen. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think being from Mississippi, Williams was obviously like a big inspiration to me, and Lillian Hellman as well, and sort of the kind of great classic American playwrights and Chekhov. I mean, in all of this, I sort of discovered fairly young in high school. I think having just been in London, I saw like an amazing photography exhibit of Francesca Woodman and Julia Cameron Mitchell. Was that her, I think, which was at the National Portrait Gallery, which were two women. One was sort of part of the Bloomsbury group, Julia Margaret Cameron, sorry, Julia Margaret Cameron and Francesca Woodman. And it was really interesting because there were like two women photographers sort of transcending time between each other, and like their work looked so similar but was like created a century apart, which was really, really interesting and beautiful. I saw Machinal in London, which is a play that I think was most recently on Broadway with Rebecca Hall, and is an expressionistic piece by Sophie Treadwell, and it was like absolutely stunning, like probably one of the best things I've seen. And yeah, I'm currently reading this book, The Night Watch, that was just, I think, believe just won or was shortlisted for the Pulitzer Prize. So I'm always sort of like looking for different things that feed into my own interests and how they can sort of feed my own artistic process. And Night Watch was the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction for 2024. It's by Jane Ann Phillips, but it's set after the Civil War and during the Civil War. So I think there's also like a little bit, and it's between, it reminds me of The Piano. It's like a young daughter who is taking care of her mother, who's sort of mute and they don't really quite know what happened, has had some sort of mental breakdown, but I think I'm really interested too in like women's mental health and how that is kind of seen through art and performance. And I think that comes back to probably working on this piece for 2 years, having played Laura in different iterations of the Glass Menagerie, and now in The Pretty Trap, which is a pretty different interpretation of her, I would say, that most people would be used to seeing. But yeah, I think, I mean, I could go on about my inspirations for, another hour, but I think my biggest inspiration, as to me, like artistically and creatively, is Cate Blanchett, because I think she's just like so incredible at everything she does and has sort of straddled theater and film really beautifully. So, yeah.
I love that answer. Both of you, those were wonderful inspirations. Let me ask the two of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Jacqueline, can I first start with you, please?
Well, I hadn't, before I did this, I hadn't worked in theater consistently for a long time. I mean, I think it was really like post-pandemic or itch or urge, because I had been working in film mainly for the past, I guess, 8 or 9 years. And I grew up doing theater because it was the thing. I'm from a small city in Mississippi, and it was the kind of the closest thing that was accessible to me artistically. And it's interesting now, even working at the professional level, how much that feeling of joy and surprise and happiness and, challenge that you feel making theater that I felt even when I was a kid that you feel now. And I think it's so different than film, particularly for me, because it's much more about the room, and like it's more actor driven in a lot of ways. And it's not like a huge machine that you're waiting on one person to do this. You can make theater out of anything. And I think that is absolutely special and beautiful. And like, that's what I love the most about it, I think.
Oh, that's such a beautiful answer. Lynn, how about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I think it's probably very similar to Jacqueline. What I love about theater is like taking, words off a page and giving them life. And I love the collaborative aspect of that, of like everybody coming together and like creating this moment that is just there and then it's gone, and it's kind of beautiful and priceless. And if you weren't there and you missed it, then too bad for you. But I've been making theater since I was a little kid. Like, I was the one who rounded up all the neighborhood kids and put on productions in our backyards, or whenever my parents had dinner parties, we all got costumes and I wrote the script and everyone did the show. And I think I've really loved that aspect of creating for a very long time. Like, I do some other things creatively that are a little more independent, But I think that's the thing I really love about theater is it brings this group of people together and you're all like working on the same project, you know, and hopefully you all have the same vision and, you know, everyone's like putting their energy and their effort and their love into creating this thing that you're going to share with the world. And it's just, it's really exciting to give it life. And then you work in this bubble of rehearsals. And then, you know, you don't know, you think like, oh, we think this is good. We think this is something. And then you put it out in the world and then you see what the audience happens. And then there's that exchange of energy from the performers to the audience. And then it becomes this very cyclical thing that is just, I don't know, there's kind of nothing else like that. And I love that.
I love that answer. That's such a wonderful answer. And that leads now to my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Mine, I have two. And they're pretty different, but similar. I mean, I remember seeing Annie on Broadway. That was like with Nell Carter. And I think like Sutton Foster was the star to be. I was 8 or something. So I think that was pretty, you know, we went up to New York just to see Annie because I loved Annie so much. Really wanted to be in Annie. And I was, but not on Broadway. So that was a pretty impactful memory for me. And then I think I saw Liv Ullmann's production of Streetcar at the Brooklyn Academy of Music with Cate Blanchett and Joel Edgerton. And that was pretty powerful for me too. I had seen The Glass Menagerie with Sarah Paulson and Jessica Lange when I was in high school. And I just remember that production in particular. It was 2009, and they really kind of made Blanche sort of the center again and kind of didn't judge her. And I thought that that was so beautiful. And Liv Ullmann is one of my, I mean, I think just also with her kind of cinematic back, you know, cinema eye and her background, had a pretty beautiful vision for the piece. So that one as well.
Those are wonderful. I love them. We love a good Annie story. Let's be real. That's a fantastic, fantastic memory. Lynn, how about you?
I think that one of my earliest, like greatest, most impactful memories, when I was 9 years old, my whole family went on a Christmas vacation to England. And we were there for several weeks. And each of the kids got to pick one particular activity that they wanted to do. And it's me and my three brothers. And my choice was I wanted to go see a show on the West End. So my mother and I went to see Evita and we had amazing seats. And I just sat there through the entire production with my mouth hanging open, with my eyes like wide as saucers. And like, I remember walking out of there and then grabbing my mother's hand and being like, that's what I want to do. And she, of course, was horrified. Like, no, don't do that. That's a bad choice. But yeah, I will never forget that. It was, you know, really the feeling of like sitting there in the dark theater and watching these like just amazing, stimulating performers that like I just, every bit of my body was tingling over it. And, you know, it just really seared me into like this life of like wanting to be that and have that and experience that. Yeah.
Oh, I love that memory as well. Y'all, you have dawned us with some incredible memories. Thank you so much for those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, are there any other projects or productions that either of you have coming on the pipeline you might be able to plug?
Well, I think I just came from the UK. My movie called Tell That to the Wonder Sea just came out in the UK in cinemas. It's playing in UK cinemas for a week. So if you're in the UK until June 7th, and then it comes out on Apple TV on July 1st. And then I just finished a movie with Jennifer Ely and Francois Arnaud called In Transit. It's an indie film that's in post-production. I directed both. And have another film in pre-production or development. But in the theater world, this is what we're here to plug. Lynn and I, you know, are working on a kind of mini next season for our company. And one thing we're thinking about doing is a mini festival of female playwrights with some connection to the South, which is sort of where we're, where we're based and sort of about in a lot of ways, and bringing their work to a wider audience. And then also we're going to be hopefully doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf as part of, as our, as our big show for next year. So yeah, but I mean, kind of talking about that too, please, to everyone who's listening to this, tell your friends or colleagues or theater lovers about our company. Our website is thefireweeds.org. We have so much love for what we do, and we're so excited to bring this special show to New York. But it's also, theater takes a village, and we need support, we need money, we need all these things to continue. And that's just something that, I wanted to plug at the end here. And we know how hard it is to make performance and art. And I don't know, Lynn, sorry I rambled, but is there
No.
anything else you want to
I mean, mostly what I'm looking forward to is this show in New York, which, we're just so excited to do. And, hopefully we will have some meetings and make some connections with other people who are making theater in the world. And hopefully, those will lead to some good things. And, I'm very excited about the future of the Fireweeds. We already have a couple of really great plays that we've been reading. We're getting more submissions by people here. So that's going to be really fun to do that, some new work. And, if we do indeed take on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I mean, certainly on my bucket list. So, yeah, very excited about the future.
That is amazing. Amazing. And y'all already got a start on my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Outraged Hearts or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
We have an Instagram. We also have the website, which is the Fireweeds, and our Instagram is also the Fireweeds. And then Jacqueline and I each have our own Instagrams. And I don't know, do you have another website, Jacqueline?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the best way to, keep up with us is social media and our website. And, we definitely would love to hear from people that come see the show and see, meet us in New York. We're very excited to be there and looking forward to bringing the show to a new city and a new audience.
That is fantastic. Well, Jacqueline, Lynn, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing your amazing company and your amazing upcoming production. This is so exciting. I can't wait to see this show and everything else that you all do. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you
Thank
so
you. Thank you
please.
so much.
No.
Thank you
Yay.
for having us.
My guests today have been the actresses and co-artistic directors, Jacqueline Bethany and Lynn Gathright. They joined us to talk about the Fireweeds in association with Future Home Productions' presentation of Outraged Hearts. It's playing June 27th through the 30th at Torn Page. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting eventbrite.com or thefireweeds.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out. It is a limited run and it is a fantastic sounding work. We are not going to want to miss this. The show again is Outrage Hearts, playing June 27th through 30th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more.
simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.